Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Not Today, Satan. Sorry I didn't have a video last week, y'all. I was really sick for 2 weeks. I was watching, I'm going to make a note here so I don't forget to tell y'all something at the end. I was watching Max Lucado, can't say his name right, Max Lucado, on television, and he was talking about the birth of Jesus. And he spoke so eloquently, and he pointed out the patterns. And I thought of all the millions of people that his ministry had touched. And he obviously loves the Lord. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, why do some people, like Max Lucado, or Lucado, I'm not sure how you say his name, have such wide-reaching ministries, and some others who clearly are anointed and really love you don't get very far? You know, why the difference? Why some people reach like millions of people like him, and some other people who clearly are strongly anointed, and I'm thinking of someone I know, and they try real hard, but they don't seem to get very far. And the Lord showed me it is a question of integrity. Are they resisting sin? Are they actually walking in his ways, or are they only pretending that they're walking in his ways and behind the scenes there's some serious sin going on? Are they so truly committed to him that they are forsaking sin? They are refusing to compromise, and they are fighting the good fight every step of the way. That is the difference. And he showed me that if they're not fighting sin, and that if they don't hate sin like he does, he cannot exalt them. No matter how true their message may be, because they'll be shown to be false. If he does, they'll be shown to be hypocrites. And not that we don't all make mistakes, y'all. We all make mistakes. Everybody does. I don't care how high up you go in ministry, you are still making mistakes somewhere. But it would come out because that they taught one way and they were walking another. Now, sometimes you will see a minister fall from a high position because when that happens, because they have a sin in their life and they were afraid to go to anybody about it, and they had just not overcome in that area. But when that happens, what that minister should be doing is studying the word and seeking the face of God and saying, Lord, I need help. I need help. You know, I want to do right, but I need your help to do this. Because when sin sets up a stronghold in your life, when you say yes again and again and again to that sin, and you keep eating from the devil's table, you develop a taste for what you're eating from the devil's table. It is hard to get free, y'all. Seriously hard. That's why we're going to talk about this today, because I want to help you get free wherever you need to get free. So we all have our struggles. That's in our DNA, and we will always be tempted by something in the world for as long as we have a fleshly body. Until our spirit leaves our body, we're going to have to deal with temptation. It comes with the body. So it is what we do when we are tempted that determines how much God can use us, okay? So I want to ask you today, where are you in your walk with him? How do you react when you're tempted? Do you have sins that you've held on to for years and years, or that have held on to you that you haven't been able to get free of? Or is there the same temptation that keeps coming back at you? Do you get weary of fighting it? We're going to talk about this. You know, do you witness for him? Do you profess boldly that he's your Lord and that, you know, you receive everything that he did for you? Because one of the things he did for you is he set you free from that. But most of us didn't get free right away, did we? Because our bodies are programmed for the sin. Even though our spirit is immediately renewed when we give our life to him, our body still says, you know, it's like I've been on many diets, y'all. And it's like when you go from eating everything you want to eat and you go on a diet, and your mind has changed, you're going to do this, you're going to eat healthy, and your body's screaming, I want chocolate, I want ice cream, you gave it to me yesterday and I want it again today. Sin works the same way. You know, you're putting your flesh on a diet and it just screams and goes crazy. And it's going to do that. It's going to do that, y'all. So, do you flee temptation when it comes to you? Or do you stare at it longingly? You know, a dieter, a person like me who likes to eat, is going to be a lot more successful in a diet if I don't bring the cupcakes home from the store than if I bring them home and put them on the cabinet and stare and go, wow, that chocolate cupcake looks so good, you know? If you stare at that cupcake long enough, you are going to pick it up and take a bite of it. Can I just tell you that? I'm telling you from experience. Or a package of Ding Dongs. Ding Dongs used to be my favorite cupcake in the entire world. I have a thing for cakes and pastries, obviously. And I could not bring Ding Dongs in the house. If I brought them in the house, I was going to eat them probably within 20 minutes of getting them home, no matter what kind of diet I was on or how determined I was. If you're determined to lose weight, you do not buy the cupcakes. Okay, that's the bottom line. If you bring the stuff in the house, you'll eat it. You don't bring that stuff in your house for someone else to eat it. You bring it home so you can eat it. Or you do it at my house anyway. All right, let's get serious here. What if, let's say that you're called to ministry. And let's say that God has given you a promise that you're going to have a worldwide ministry and you are going to have a lot of money doing it. Okay, and then someone comes to you one day, you know, you're following God and trying to do your best and everything, and somebody comes to you one day and offers you a very big salary and offers you a worldwide platform on television. They will film your show, they'll pay all the costs, and they will pay you $1 million a year to preach on television. And you just have to make one little compromise. And the compromise that they're telling you have to make is a sin. Would you do it? Would you say, oh, well, the ministry's going to do more good than that little bit of bad, and you would do it? I want y'all to think about that. That's important. Would you compromise even a little to get that door open? Or would you trust God that if he said he would bring you a worldwide platform, he would bring it, and believe the proverb that says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow? Sin's going to bring you sorrow. Or would you think, oh, that's God opening the door and I just have to do that to get through the door? This is where you have to know the word of God. Would you commit your favorite sin today if you knew you would never be caught and never be held accountable for it? I'm asking these questions for a reason, y'all. If today you got a free pass day and you could commit any sin you wanted to do all day long and there would never be any punishment, you would never be considered guilty for it for all day, would you do it? Ooh, a bunch of y'all said yes. God said a bunch of y'all said yes. What would you do on your free pass day? Would you cram as many sins in it as you could? Because a lot of people would. Would you enjoy every pleasure and taste every forbidden fruit? A lot of people would. Your answer to that question is very revealing. It reveals whether you are still secretly in love with the pleasures of sin, or whether you love your Savior more than you love the world. This is important, y'all. In what is coming to this earth, you need to know the answers to these questions. And you need to, the answers are between you and God, nobody else. They are between you and God. These questions, God gave me this whole podcast on Sunday. I believe it was Sunday. No, Saturday morning, maybe. I woke up early. One of my dogs woke me up. And between the time he woke me up at like 5:45 or 6 o'clock and 7 a.m., God gave me this whole download, the whole podcast. So this message is from him. It is not from me. I didn't study for this. He gave me the whole thing just in a download, and I was typing as fast as I could type. So it is him asking you these questions. If you are still drawn to sin, I'm not saying this to condemn you. That is between you and God, okay? But to help you, because we have all walked that path. Y'all, I struggled so hard with sin. When I first came into, I had so much sin still in my life for so many years after I got saved because I did not understand the process to get rid of it. I didn't understand how to let the sin go. I still wanted to do the sin. And I didn't understand that me holding on to that sin and allowing it to stay in my life meant that I didn't love Jesus enough. I didn't understand that. And that's one of the reasons I teach on this so much, is I don't want y'all to go through that. I don't want you to suffer the consequences of not getting that sin out of your life, especially in the future, okay? Especially in the future. Because it's going to be a much higher price to pay. It is even now, because remember the Lord told us that sin's bringing a real quick harvest now? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me find my place where I was again. I want to help you come off the path of sin and onto a much better, more peaceful, and more blessed way of walking. When there is sin in your life, you don't have complete peace because the sin is tormenting you. The demons are there always trying to draw you off to do that sin. You know, they want to lead you away from peace and away from all the stuff. They're like a bunch of cockroaches in your life and in your mind, running back and forth, tempting you. But when you forsake that sin, when you get free of that sin, all the cockroaches go away and you have peace. And that's where we want to get you. We want to get you where you have peace. Okay. As you begin to know Jesus more intimately and learn how much he loves you, that receiving love from him, for some of us, like for me, for one person out of many, it's hard for me because I didn't receive that kind of love from my dad, because my dad did not receive that kind of love from his dad, so he didn't know how to give it either. And I don't say that to condemn my dad. My dad did love us. He's a wonderful man in many ways. But if you've never known that kind of love from a father, it's hard for you to see him as a loving father. But if you press in, and by press in, I mean read the word more, listen to sermons more, meditate, and just sit and think about Jesus and think about what it took. How much love did it take? You were the only person standing in front of him. He would have done it for any one of us, for just one. If you were standing in front of him and you were all covered in sin, and there was God ready to judge, and Jesus, and you were condemned to death, all right, that's it. You're done. The punishment is death. And Jesus said, Father, I'll go. I'll go because I love her, or I love him so much. I don't want them to suffer and die. Let me go in their place. I can do this. And he said, okay, you can do it. And Jesus looked at you and said, I love you. And then he went and got on that cross and let them nail his hands and his feet to that cross. And you watched him all those hours hanging there and bleeding. If you meditate on that and you really think about what it took, how much love did it take for him to take your punishment and suffer all those hours, any one of those seconds, he could have delivered himself. He could have called the angels down. He could have done anything because he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. But he didn't. He chose to die for your sins. He chose to die for my sins, which were many. So, if you think about that, and I do sometimes just sit and think about that and think, wow, Jesus, wow. You will start to see him more for who he is. There is a verse in the Bible, and it's in, I think it's John 10:10, that says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what that tells me is if we don't keep his commandments, we don't love him enough. Because if we love him, we will keep his commandments. It's just like if you're married, if you really, really love your spouse, you will keep yourself only for your spouse. But if you don't really love your spouse all the way, then, you know, maybe you'll go out on the sidelines a little bit. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. We will do what we're supposed to do, okay? I personally believe in the Ten Commandments. I know everybody doesn't, but I do. Okay, now. And that, I'm not trying to condemn anybody who doesn't. That's just my personal belief. I grew up believing in them, so I just kept it with that. My mom told me one time, she said, decide what you believe and believe it, and you won't be confused. And she was right. As you fall in love with Jesus, as you see the love that he has for you and you fall in love with him, you still see the sin there, and it still tries to tempt you, but little by little, you start to prefer him and his way to the world. And eventually, you not only prefer it, but you begin to hate the world and you hate the sin and you hate the wickedness in it. And you won't care anything about staying in the earth or, you know, or staying in the world, or you won't be in love with life anymore. A lot of people are in love with life. I'm personally not, but a lot of people are. If your life has been real happy, I guess it's real easy to be in love with life, but we have to guard against that. But if you've had a life that was a lot of struggle, it's real easy not to be in love with life. Can I just say that? Sorry, y'all. I'm reading my notes to see if I want to read you this part or not. I grew up very poor and married into more poverty. And we were kids when we got married, my husband and I, and we didn't have any, you know, I got pregnant right away. We didn't have any work skills. He worked at a service station. For you younger people who don't know what a service station is, where gas stations are, they used to actually have real people that walked out and put and pumped your gas for you, cleaned your windshield, check your oil, air up your tires. It was awesome. I wish we still had those. I loved those. I wish we still had them. But when you live in poverty for a long time, you don't know anything different. When you live in sin for a long time, you don't know anything different. Until I got into the oil and gas industry, I lived in poverty. I didn't have any work skills that were, I mean, I had good skills after working in Dallas for 12 years, but they weren't enough to really live a high standard of living. But when I got into oil and gas and developed real marketable skills, and I was very good at what I did, then I had something. And then I could see the difference. Then I could see the lack I had lived in all the years before. When you live in sin for a very long time, that's all you know. When you start coming out of sin and you start getting this incredible peace that comes with being out of sin, then you know what you've missed all those years. And that's the place I want y'all to get to, because I am telling you, you will never go back. You will never go back. You will never go back, because it is such a difference. And the blessings that come into your life when you are trying your hardest and trying to, I'm not saying any of us is perfect, because none of us walk a perfect walk. No one ever did but Jesus. There are people who think they do, but they are wrong. Jesus is the only one who ever walked perfectly. And he had perfect peace, but he also gives us perfect peace. He took our sins, but he gave us the ability to be free of those sins, but we have to appropriate what he did for us. Just like you have to with, you know, we have the right to be free of demons, but we have to appropriate what he did for us in order to be free of those demons. We're not just automatically free. When you begin transitioning from being in love with sin and being in love with the world and the pleasures and, you know, whatever your particular sins are, I've heard drug addicts talk about the pleasures of drugs, and I would just sit there and think, I'm so glad I never knew what that was, what that felt like, because that's the knowledge of good and evil. If you know how good a drug feels, then you're drawn to it. If you never tried the drug, then you're never drawn to it, and you never have to fight that. If you know the pleasure of alcohol, which I did, then you're drawn to it. And then you have to get free of it if you, you know, sin that way for a long time. It's probably not a sin for everybody. It would be a sin for me because God set me free from it. Your whole life changes when you begin to transition from living in sin to living without sin. How you look at things, how you feel inside, everything changes. It's like going from being a pauper to being a prince. The blessings come, the door opens, you know, the doors open, the peace permeates your soul. You hear God speak better because sin puts a wall between you and God, y'all. It puts a wall between you and the Lord, and you can't hear him. And in the stuff that's coming, you need to be able to hear him. Okay, I'm just saying. There's not always going to be an internet or a way to hear people that are teaching you that can hear God. You need to be able to hear him too, and he wants you to be able to hear him. Living right and getting out of sin is all about your daily choice. It's about the choice you make from minute to minute, okay? Here comes a temptation. Which thing are you going to choose? You're going to choose to do right or choose to do wrong? You got to choose which one. Some sins are harder to give up than others. Those that leave no visible mark on your life, those that no one else knows about, those secret comforts that help you get through another day, You know, maybe you do a drug at lunchtime or something like that, and that helps you make it through the afternoon at work. Whatever. The sins no one knows about are the hardest to give up. They're the easiest for the devil to tempt you with, and they're the hardest to give up. But I want you to learn a better way of getting through the day, a way that doesn't open doors to the enemy to bring destruction into your life. There are also some generational doorways open that make sins hard to give up. So we're going to deal with that too. It's all about making choices. You have to say, not today, Satan, not today. And you have to keep saying it little by little. And as you do this, and the sin loses, every time you say not today, that hand loses a little bit of its grip. And it keeps coming back and tempting you. And if you give in, it gets tighter. But if you resist it, it gets weaker. And every time you resist it, it gets weaker and weaker. And pretty soon it just falls away because it can't hold on. Because you haven't given the devil a place to hold on to. Give no place to the devil. You have to say, not today, Satan. Every time you give in to that sin, there's a rumor going around in hell. Oh, she won't fight. Go tempt her. She'll give in. Let's make some easy points today. He always gives in to that. Go tempt him. Not today, Satan. Not today. You have to be the game changer to get free of sin. I know you want to pray a prayer and say, Lord, take this sin from me. But he already did his part, y'all. He already did his part. He died on that cross, a horrible, agonizing death that must have felt like it was 10 years long, at least, so you could be free. He did his part. Now you have to do yours. You have to put the devil in his place. You have to be the one that says, not today, Satan. And you have to do it every time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 talk about this whole process. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Do what God called you to do for the right reasons. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Don't think highly of yourself, but realize if God puts you in leadership, you are supposed to lead, and leading is done by example. I'm speaking to you leaders too. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Our reward is him and that crown, y'all, and it's all going to be worth it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. This is so important. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If you want God's help, you got to walk in humility. Because you're going to walk in pride, you're just going to be on your own. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If God is not exalting you, there is a reason, and you need to find it before you run out of time, if you are called to ministry. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. God alone is in charge of promoting you. Okay, you're not in charge of promoting yourself, and there are great dangers if you do. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You must walk in wisdom if you don't want to end up being the devil's lunch. We all admire and respect people of integrity. This is such a good goal to have, y'all, to be a person of integrity. That's why John Wayne was such a big star. He acted in movies about men of integrity, men who made the hard choices, even at great risk to themselves. They still did the right thing, even if it risked their life or took it. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We live in a right now gratification world, microwave everything, but there is no drive-through deliverance. Y'all have heard me talk about this before. There is no instant way to the path of holiness. There is no shortcut to giving up sins you've lived in for decades. All right, there's not a shortcut. I'm telling you, there's not a shortcut. No one told me this, y'all. I'm telling you to help you. It's all about your daily choices. It is you who must resist. God is not going to remove that sin from your life. He has done his part already. He took the punishment for our sinful behavior. His job is done. It's our turn to do the right thing. Every time temptation comes, every hour, every day for the rest of our lives, one choice at a time, we have to say, not today, Satan. Everybody wants to be delivered from sin with no suffering. But that isn't how it works. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, God showed me that meant after you went through the discomfort of not doing the sin, of saying, not today, Satan, for just a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This means, and this is a revelation he gave me, that after you've suffered a while, means this is not going to happen without some discomfort, okay? But after you've suffered a little while, the verse right after the verse about resisting the devil, that's the verse right after about resisting the devil, or two verses before that. After you've suffered a while and showed God you are serious about getting free of the sin this time, you're serious, you're really going to do it, then he will establish your freedom, okay? You will have to maintain the freedom, though, by not going back to the sin, but he will establish it. The devil's like a bad ex that just keeps coming back, y'all. Show up at your door and you don't want to see him. You done stopped thinking about him a long time ago. And you open the door and there they are again. Yep. Can you just say, not today, Satan? So the process that the Bible gives us for getting free from temptation and from strongholds of sin is be vigilant. That means be on the lookout for temptation, okay? Don't just sit around not even looking to see if you're going to be tempted. You know, don't walk, you know, I don't go walk in bars, okay? Because I used to drink. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I drank and I liked it. So I know not to go where drinks are served. That would be a bad thing for me to do, because what if I was tempted? I'm not tempted by alcohol. If you put a bottle of whiskey in front of me right now, I wouldn't want it. But part of my job in staying free is to stay away from it, because I know I've been set free from it. I know it's not a good thing for me. I know God doesn't want me doing it, so I stay away from temptation. Resist the devil. That means if he starts talking to you about the sin, not today, Satan. Keep resisting him. Keep standing against the sin. Keep refusing the sin. If you have to do it 1,000 times in one day, then you resist it 1,000 times in one day. And then God will establish your freedom as only he can. Okay, the Bible makes it very clear in that verse, 1 Peter 5, was it 10, verse 10? 1 Peter 5, 10 makes it very clear this is not going to be a comfortable process. You have to want this freedom, okay? You have to want it enough to put forth some effort instead of just living a sloppy life, all right? There's a lot of Christians out there living sloppy lives and just saying, oh, grace, God's grace covers me. I think God's grace covers you if you're trying to live a holy life, if you're trying to be free. I'm not sure it covers you if you're just living the way you want to, because my Bible says something about a reprobate mind when you know not to do a sin and you keep doing it. All right. Like I said, it's like when a dieter goes from eating everything they want and they go into a diet and your body's screaming, I want the chocolate and I want the ice cream. Give it to me now. Your body will scream that it wants the sin. You are the one who has to go, shut up. Not today, Satan. You will still want it, but you don't have to give in to that. We don't live by our emotions. We don't live by our fleshly desires anymore. We are Christians now. We are new creatures. We're not that same person, okay? We're not that same person. And you shouldn't want to be that same person. We are really close to the end of everything right now. And you know that at some point Jesus is going to come back and get all the Christians and take them up to heaven. Do you think that you're going to just magically be walking and not be in sin then if you don't give it up now? I'm trying to help you. Y'all listen to me. Do you think it's just going to magically be gone then when you're doing it every day now? Come on. I'm not going to candy coat this. The devil is not going to go away. He's not going to stop tempting you. He will never stop tempting you. You have to stop saying yes. If you weren't so easy to convince, he'd go tempt somebody else, wouldn't he? I know, ouch. It's time to stop playing around with God, y'all. There's some bad stuff going to go down. I personally think that the minute President Trump is no longer president, it's going to be bad. That's just my personal belief. I hope I'm wrong, but you cannot live in the world and be in love with the pleasures of the world or any of the pleasures in the world and walk a holy life and serve God. You can't have both sides of the fence. You got to get on one side or the other. If you ride the middle of the fence, you're lukewarm and God will spit you out. I want to read y'all something. This is so beautiful. I posted this on the JPH Facebook page with permission. A commenter who comments a lot on the words on the blog named Warris Alley, who is a young man that has so much spiritual wisdom that I'm amazed when I read his comments. He wrote this comment today and I just love it. He said, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if it's a good analogy or not. Imagine Jesus walking, hunched over, carrying the cross, bloody, beaten, whipped, bruised, mocked by people, and probably by every demon on earth. You are standing along the path. He walks up to you and says, hand me all your pain and suffering. Believe my words and that I love you, and I'll take it. And then you say, sorry, I just can't. And he walks away weeping because he went through all that so he could take your pain, so he could take your sin too, but you didn't accept it. Whether it be for everyone or just you, he still would have done it. Then they nail him to the cross and he dies. He did all the work. All you had to do was believe. Every time you sin or are holding on to pain and unforgiveness, you deny what he did for you. Honestly, it might as well have been me with the hammer and nail. Forgive me, Lord. Your mind, emotions, feelings, circumstances, and everything else will come against you. You have two options. Believe those, the world, or believe the word of God. I think this is what God means in previous words when he says, choose today whom you will serve. It is what he means. God has overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you build your house upon the rock, it will hold up against the waves. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The next time you have fear, remember, God did not give us a spirit of fear. That fear is a lie, so refuse to believe it and believe instead what God says. It may take practice. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. When Jesus said all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, when he was talking about the mustard seed, what he meant was, you don't, because they were saying, give us more faith, and he was saying, no, you don't need big faith, you need pure faith. You just need a little of real faith. But I love what Warris wrote in that. I just think that is so incredible. When your next temptation comes, you have to choose who your master will be. Will you say, not today, Satan? Or will you say, not today, Jesus? You choose. But remember, that sin's not going to go away on its own, and he's not going to magically remove it from you. So if you keep sinning, then if a sudden disaster comes or destruction, you will be taken in your sin. If Jesus comes back suddenly, you will be left behind. Thanks for watching. Jesus bless you. Choose wisely. If you would like a prayer that you can pray to help you overcome sins and strongholds in your life, email me at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. And in the subject line, put prayer to overcome sin, and I will send it right out to you. Jesus bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts and constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free. Millions of Christians are trapped in abusive situations today, living in fear or living a life of failure. 1 in 4 women in America will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Men are victims of nearly 3 million assaults in the U.S. Did you know if you are under the curse of abuse, abuse will always be part of your life unless you break the curse? Find out how to get free of the curse of abuse. Get the book, Escaping the Curse of Abuse. Available on Amazon.com, Escaping the Curse of Abuse, and be free. Isn't it time? What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.